Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
All right. It is amazing how fast the left is shifting on its border policy. Because, I mean, it's been as recently as 7 years ago that the leadership of the Democratic Party was, you know, pretty much committed to border security, was spending $40 billion to fund fencing, and everybody was on board. This wasn't controversial at all during the Obama administration.
No, it was not.
No. Okay. Then in the last month, the New York Times has done, this is what alarms me, the New York Times has done three separate editorials calling for open borders. And in the latest editorial, the New York Times said, listen, we need to go further than stopping the wall. We need to rip down all of the barriers on the border.
Now you're sounding like Beto now.
Yes, and Beto picked it up yesterday.
Yep, sure did.
This is a move. I mean, this is a move for the left. I mean, that same editorial said, okay, let's rip down all the barriers. We don't want anything standing in anybody's way from coming here. And we're going to get rid of ICE, and we're going to decriminalize coming to the country. So it'll be like, you know, jaywalking, essentially.
Well, this even came up in the whole situation with Amazon pulling out of New York. You had some of the local officials there, Democrats, saying, we're doing this for the immigrants. I mean, that was the quote.
Wait, no, I missed that part.
Oh,
tell
yeah.
me about that. What do you how is this for the immigrants?
Well,
the liberal activists got Amazon to leave New York, basically,
yes.
is what you're talking about. Okay.
How they are coming to that conclusion, I don't know. That's what left me agape and aghast. I don't understand the connection. But that was the thing, is that they are against corporate greed. They're against people being abused by this huge corporation. You know, all the usual left-wing, you know, social working class, communist party type of propaganda. But there was some comment made about it being for the immigrants. It was one of the local officials there who basically tanked this deal. And boy, you know, Governor Andrew Cuomo's not real happy with his fellow Democrats right now.
No, not at all. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez referring to this as a victory. And I was like, what? I mean, I don't like Amazon much, but they were going to pay. Well, they got tax incentives. Amazon does $3 billion
right.
basically in slash taxes. So they weren't paying them cash money to come.
No, not at all. But that's what she said that we're doing, though.
I know. And people are baffled by that this morning. Did she not understand how this deal works? I mean, they gave it. She called it a victory that they're not going to have 25,000 jobs.
See, I think she understands how it works. I think she realizes it's a tax incentive. But the way she's going to frame it is that the state was giving them $3 billion because that's what she wants people to think. That's how she wants to frame this. This is the way that politicians lie about things. This is it. And you know, you hear all the time from the left saying, Trump lies. He lies every time his mouth. No, Trump exaggerates. But you know what? This is a gross exaggeration, too, by Ocasio-Cortez, that the state of New York was going to give Amazon $3 billion. They were not. Just like every other state in the union, to attract businesses, they have like a fee in lieu of taxes, or they have some type of tax incentive program where you're going to get a discount on your taxes in order to come in and put your plant there or your, you know, headquarters or whatever, and hire thousands of people, paying them well above minimum wage. In fact, quite honestly, probably above median age in wage in your state.
But she didn't want the jobs. Okay, you have to understand something. The way that Democrats think. Jobs, when you say, what create jobs? That doesn't mean anything to them unless they're government jobs.
Exactly.
Because in their minds, it doesn't matter if the economy is destroyed. It doesn't matter if jobs are destroyed, because everybody ultimately, if you look at the Green Deal, the plan is to get everybody on a government job or on the government dole. That's the plan. And so when you say, but jobs will be destroyed, the economy's humming after the tax cut, they don't care.
Right. Exactly.
That's not a win for them.
No.
Only government dependency is a win for them because it increases their power. So when you say, you know, the woman who called me last week, well, but why do they want to destroy everything? Because they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care if the economy hums. It hurts them when people aren't dependent.
Right.
Okay, so here is the new shift in the Democrat Party's border philosophy. It has gone in last month, thanks to leadership of the New York Times, from, hey, let's stop Trump from building the wall, to let's tear down all the barriers.
You know, would you, if you could, would you take the wall down now?
This is Beto O'Rourke.
Here.
Yes.
Like you have a wall.
Absolutely.
Knock it down.
I'd take the wall down.
The question was, it was in response to a tweet. You know, somebody, Dan Crenshaw, out of Texas, asking, hey, you know, somebody asked Beto if he would tear down, like, the whole wall. The one outside El Paso that shows that illegal crossings have dropped significantly. When you look at that El Paso wall, back in 1992, 250,000 crossings there. That has dropped today to less than 25,000.
Wasn't Beto in some band?
And he's saying rip it down.
Wasn't Beto in some band before he got into politics?
Yeah, and he has a skateboard.
Okay. All right. I got a question for you. Did you have ticket takers taking tickets up at the gate?
I bet he did.
At the gate where you get into the concert? Did you let everybody come backstage? Or did you have security there to keep all the fans from coming backstage? You know, I'm sick and tired of hearing these people make these ridiculous arguments about walls being immoral and all this other garbage. You know, there has to be borders, there has to be areas, there has to be secure areas for everybody. It's called safety. Otherwise, you have chaos. And, of course, that's what these people want. They want chaos. They want absolute, utter chaos.
You could make this argument with anything, Lee. You could say, well, you know, it's not fair. Some people can't afford to go to college. So they ought to be able to just walk onto campus, take whatever class they want.
It's not fair that I can't afford the tickets to your darn concert. It's not fair that I don't get to go backstage and mingle with the stars, too.
Yeah, and I want to go to the Oscars.
Yeah, that's it.
I want to wear my Build the Wall dress.
Exactly.
I want to do that. Well, no, I can't get in. You know why? They have multiple layers of walls around it.
Yeah.
Constructed to protect Hollywood every time.
From people like you.
Yeah, I know. People like me. Tell you what. Okay, meanwhile, did you... I couldn't wait to play this for you because I knew it would blow your mind if you hadn't heard it. Did you hear what Pelosi said about the precedent it would set, Nancy Pelosi?
Sadly,
if Trump were to declare a national emergency. Here's Pelosi yesterday.
So the precedent that the president is setting here is something that should be met with great unease and dismay by the Republicans.
Why?
Because if the president can declare an emergency on something that he has created as an emergency, an illusion that he wants to convey, just think of what a president with different values can present to the American people. You want to talk about a national emergency? Let's talk about today, the one-year anniversary of another manifestation of the epidemic of gun violence in America. That's a national emergency. Why don't you declare that emergency, Mr. President? I wish you would. But a Democratic president can do that. Democratic president can declare emergencies as well. So the precedent that the president is setting here is something that should be met with great unease and dismay.
Here's what she... Let me translate for you. Okay, then we'll just declare a national emergency next time. We're in power and we'll take your guns.
Yeah.
That's what she's saying.
That's what
she's implying.
Said. Yeah.
She didn't actually say, but that's what she means.
Yeah.
They would love to do that.
Yeah. You know, and then they complained about the president under the use of a national emergency talking about moving funds around. How about giving me an answer to where that big stash of cash Obama gave to the Iranians on that pallet that was changed into foreign currency? Exactly where in the budget did that money come from, Nancy?
Yeah, and doesn't Congress have to allocate that?
And isn't sending cash to a state sponsor of terrorism, which the State Department of the United States of America has already declared that Iran is, isn't that giving money to terrorists, which is a federal crime?
Yeah, it's against federal law. You can't do it. We, in fact, under the Obama administration, saw somebody prosecuted for that very thing, running weapons.
But heaven forbid that we actually spend money, American taxpayers' dollars, to build a border security wall on American soil to protect American citizens. Gee, that would be unprecedented, wouldn't it?
Yep. Truly frustrating. All right. But you know what? Very satisfying today to watch the FBI and the DOJ just unravel before our eyes. And I'm literally laughing at the irony, Lee, of FBI leaders and DOJ leaders now arguing over who is the biggest liar while under oath, which, by the way, is a crime. All while the FBI prosecutes Trump allies who they disagree with politically for lying to them. Holy cow, did you see this? No wonder nobody's getting married. Average cost of a wedding is now $33,931. Are people stupid? Do you know if you invested that? what that would add up to over time. I mean, holy cow, especially if you're in your 20s, shoot. That and a little more, you could retire on it. All right, it'd have to be a little more than that, but yeah. I was looking at this $2,400 for flowers. Good gosh. You know what my girlfriends and I did? We went to Costco, where they sell the flowers, bought red roses, and then we bought that spongy stuff you stick them in. We just stuck the red roses in it. You couldn't tell that it wasn't a florist that did it. Spent the day before doing it. Got pretty schnockered, too. It was great fun. It was my 20s. I had a great time. Here's this one. The dress, $1,600. Good gosh, I had a most gorgeous dress. I got it from the consignment shop. $80. It was an absolutely beautiful dress. I had some stains. I got a friend of mine to clean it for me for free. And I had to have taken it up, so that was like $100. You don't have to spend this kind of money. What the heck, people? $2,400 for flowers. Go to Costco. It's so much fun. You just cut the roses down, stuff them in there. I had the most beautiful bouquets. We had fun making them, too. By the way, it's not hard to make those. Oh, we made our own boutonnieres as well. It's called YouTube.com. Unbelievable. What people are spending so happy. Why do people just blow money on stupid stuff? 800-347-1063. Text line 71307. I'm going through this with my 9-year-old right now. He'll be mortified that I'm telling you about it. He's actually just out of the car, so I can tell you. No, he's going through it because he's embarrassed about our car. Because it's like, I don't know, 15 years old, the car I drive. And nobody drives that he knows drives a car that old. And I keep telling him, dude, we make the car payment into the college fund. So when all your friends are living in their parents' basements and they're too broke to do anything, you're going to have everything paid off. And he says, yeah, I really like that. But can we get a new car? No, we can't. I said, your friend's parents are spending their college education on a new car every 4 to 5 years. They just don't realize it. Mom, can you drop me off around back? All right. I mean, it's not that bad. But he's embarrassed by it. You know what I love about that car? Outside of here, I keep a super low profile. My neighbors don't know who I am. I use another name. I go by another name outside of here. My neighbors don't know who I am. I have mom friends that I've been friends with for a year, 2 years. They have no idea what I do. They think I'm in marketing. I do that to protect my kids, right? So when I drive around in an older car, nobody knows it's me. And that car is the best filter of people I have. One of the best filters of people I have ever found. If people can get past the car I drive, and it's not that bad, but compared to what most other moms are driving at school, yeah, it is. If people can get past that car, they're good friend material. If they can't, oh well, would have been a waste of my time anyway. It is a great filter of people. Plus, there's nothing like making the car payment into the college fund and watching your children's future grow. There's no feeling like that I could get from driving a Mercedes-Benz. Not that I could afford one. But there's no car that could give me that kind of joy. Texter writes, wait till your daughter gets married. You'll see this $33,000 is real. I just experienced it. You know what you do? You say no. My dad tried to pay for my wedding. I said, forget it. No way. You're not paying for my wedding. Enjoy your retirement. You work too hard already, Dad. He busted his butt to put us through private school and then paid for half of college. You're done, Dad. You're cut off. And he insisted. He tried to insist. No, forget it. Get us a nice gift. Texter writes, my car is 18 years old. Texter writes, hey, Tara, our dad used to drop us off in the car line in his crappy dump truck. You still remember that to this day, don't you? My dad did the same thing. We had this old beat-up Buick, man. My mom worked night shift to put us through private Catholic school for religious reasons. And most everybody else was affluent. We were not. And we had to drive that old car so we could go to the Catholic school. Because, God, you didn't want to put your kids at Charlotte schools. Charlotte schools, right? Our schools are awesome compared to Charlotte, our public schools. Charlotte's public schools, man, I just... Whew. And so I did. We had the worst car in the car line, and I can remember the embarrassment of it. But it made me a better person. It did. You got to get past that material stuff. It'll never make you happy. It won't. Texter writes, biggest waste of money is a destination wedding. Yeah, I swear somebody should sit down with every bride and say, hey, you know what? Let's do a projection calculator. Okay, this amount, $33,000 invested over, you know, 30 years. Good gosh. Texter writes, I drive a 30-year-old car. Tell him it's a classic. Now, that is impressive. It's impressive you kept it running that long. Texter writes, weddings are memories. Look at the waste in the cost of a funeral. Yeah, but you know what the problem with a wedding is? It goes so fast. Mine went by like that in a blink of the eye. And you're like, whoop, $33,000 gone. Texter writes, tell your son to be proud. One day it will be his. Another texter writes, we got dropped. Oh, there's other kids just like me. We got dropped off in a 1980s Camry and my parents still drive it. Good for them. No payments. Yeah, but they're financially free, aren't they? Texter writes, Tara, I just married my wife. We paid for our own wedding and honeymoon and spent less than $10,000 total catering, venue, etc. Good for you. I bet it was still beautiful. You got to get creative. Texter writes, I drive a 98 BMW 540i 6-speed. Looks like brand new. Got compliments all the time. Newest car I've ever owned, and I'm almost 40. Yeah, and you know what? I bet you're financially secure, too. Now the texter writes, yeah, I had a 23-year-old car. I loved it. A lot of you out there like me, you just wanted to die every day when your parents dropped you off because they were driving some old beat-up car. Texter writes, Tara, my dad used to drop me off at high school in the late 1980s in his 1963 Chevrolet. It embarrassed me at the time, but he was doing what you're doing for your kids, putting the car in payment in the bank for college. So says Aaron in Greer. Texter writes, Tara, today's cars and trucks are built to keep the poor and the middle class perpetually in debt for transportation. This is from payments or repairs or both, because the high repair cost is these groups don't buy new, they buy used. All right. Texter writes, how much do you want to bet these threats to the drag queen story hour were made by leftists? Wouldn't surprise me. All right. Meanwhile, Michael Goodwin at the New York Post nails this. He writes a column this morning thanking Andrew McCabe for his dishonorable service. Why, he writes? Because Andrew McCabe has reminded us once again with a 60-minute interview that there is really a powerful deep state and that there has not been a full accounting of rampant FBI misconduct during the presidential campaign of 2016. Okay. Before I break down the significance of what McCabe said on national television to 60 Minutes. Let me just remind you for a second who McCabe is. We can set this up. It's easy to forget all this. McCabe is the guy who, oh, by the way, is currently under federal grand jury investigation, including for 3 acts of perjury before Congress, but whatever. McCabe is the guy who was in charge of the Hillary email investigation. That lands on his desk. You know what he was doing a week after it landed on his desk? Let me remind you. He and the wife, his wife, were sitting in the office of Terry McAuliffe, Hillary Clinton's chief fundraiser. McCabe was also investigating McAuliffe at the same time. And he and the wife were sitting there in the office. When it's decided that that McAuliffe will raise the money, will put together the funds for his wife's run, for McCabe's wife's run for office. There has never been a clearer bribe paid in the history of the United States of America. And how'd that work out for McAuliffe and Hillary? Pretty good. They deep sixed the Hillary investigation without even bothering to find, much less read all the emails. Remember that? They told us they read them all. They didn't. They lied. McCabe's wife got $700,000. From the Hillary fundraising machine via McAuliffe. McAuliffe didn't get prosecuted. It worked out great for everybody. They're thugs and criminals. That's who McCabe is. Andrew McCabe is the one referred to by the FBI lovers, Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, in their text. As remember, we sat in Andy's office and we put together the insurance policy in case this guy wins, the guy being Trump. Does that sound to you like, wow, we sat in the office and tried to figure out how to stop him? He was clearly a Russian agent. No, it was an insurance policy. How do we know? They wrote it. They put it in writing. What more do we need? And as you hear this clip, I want to remind you, not one shred of evidence of collusion ever. As they admitted where yesterday? I played you the audio on MSNBC. Even the Democrats on the Senate committee admit, we've never seen evidence of collusion. Neither has the FBI. Here you go. Here's the best summary I've found so far of this mess.
And just to break it down for everyone at home, he admitted that he launched this obstruction of justice and counterintelligence investigation.
This is Andy McCabe she's talking about.
Involving the president. He said he did it immediately after the president fired former FBI Director James Comey. And that on top of that, they discussed whether to recruit cabinet members to invoke this 25th Amendment.
Yeah, and so the 25th Amendment, the purpose of that, and of course it was ratified in 1967, and it established the succession and to make sure that if a president was duly and constitutionally removed from office by death or disability, not because you disagree with his policies or politics or the fact that he's a Republican. Mm-hmm. And so the 25th Amendment cannot be invoked just for political partisan reasons, and the conversations, if true, from McCabe show that this was an incredibly partisan maneuver that was seeking to undermine the legitimacy of the American voters. And this needs to be restored in terms of the legitimacy of what law enforcement is designed
Jenna,
for.
Can I ask you this? So you say, before we run out of time, that this was a partisan move, but did he abuse the law?
Absolutely. And I think that all of the statements that he made on 60 Minutes can be used against him. He was referred to federal prosecutors. He's already been found to have lied under oath four times, three of them in front of Congress. So absolutely, he should be prosecuted, not just fired.
Okay. So after being treated to the CNN visual of the boot going through Roger Stone's door, more FBI agents were dispatched to arrest Roger Stone than Navy SEALs were dispatched to arrest Bin Laden. Why? Well, he lied to the FBI. And now we're being treated to the irony of FBI leaders and DOJ leaders, Rod Rosenstein and Andrew McCabe, former head of the FBI, arguing in public over who is the biggest liar while under oath. That's perjury, by the way, a crime. All while the FBI prosecutes Trump allies they disagree with politically for lying to the FBI. Well, the top brass at the FBI, who pursued every single one of these people for lying to them, they're having a national argument between McCabe and Rosenstein over who committed perjury. You did. No, you did. No, you did. No, you did. Your mom's ugly. So's yours. You lied. No, I did. No, you did. No, wait, I didn't. You did. This is incredible. Then we have Scott Pelley of 60 Minutes telling us about the seriousness of this thing.
There were meetings at the Justice Department in which it was discussed whether the vice president and a majority of the cabinet could be brought together to remove the president of the United States under the 25th Amendment. These were the 8 days from Comey's firing to the point that Robert Mueller was appointed special counsel. And the highest levels of American law enforcement were trying to figure out what to do with the president.
Now, wait, hold on. They're talking about 25th Amendment. Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to wear a wire. We're going to see if we get the people, the cabinet to go along with us to take him out. You can't do that unless he's incapacitated, like in a coma. But they were going to try anyway. Now, here's the irony of this. Before I play you the next Pelley quote, let me set this up, okay? Let's go back all the way back to December 9th, 2018. Not too long ago, right? Like 2 months? When Comey admitted under oath, James Comey, former head of the FBI, admitted under oath that when he signed the FISA warrant application 3 times under penalty of perjury, that the evidence in it wasn't verified. So he admitted to perjuring himself under oath in front of Congress. It was stunning. And nothing happened. No, he was never referred for prosecution. They get to lie all they want, right? So not only did they get to lie, they get to admit they lied. But so as of December 8th, 2018, Comey has asked, hey, you know, did you know about the veracity of all that stuff that you gave to the FISA court? You know, you said you'd verified it. It was evidence that Trump was a Russian spy and all that. Did y'all verify that? I mean, did y'all know if that was true? Nah, we didn't, said Comey on December 8th, 2018. Nah, and all that junk we were claiming, it wasn't verified. We didn't know if it was true. Well, that means McCabe didn't know if it was true either. They'd never verified it. They had nothing. Comey admitted on December 9th, 2018, that he had nothing. That means when all this junk's going on, they had nothing. McCabe had nothing when he did this.
But there was a discussion underway about removing the president of the United States.
They were counting noses. They were not asking cabinet members whether they would vote for or against removing the president, but they were speculating this person would be with us, that person would not be, and they were counting noses in that effort.
And this was not perceived to be a joke.
No, it's a coup, not a joke. Again, they've admitted they had no evidence. But then he went a step further. Now, keep in mind, Rod Rosenstein advised Trump to fire James Comey in writing. Trump did it. And then Andrew McCabe promptly, along with James Comey, starts investigating him for obstruction. They had no evidence. Comey admitted that 2 months ago. They had no evidence. Yet they were planning to see, could they turn members of the cabinet against the president to get him under the 25th Amendment? Because why? Because they didn't like him. They thought he was a little sleazy. As McCabe admits in the interview, not once will you find him in that interview saying they had any evidence. You know why? Comey has admitted it. They had none. They just didn't like him. They were going to take him out. And he's literally going to be on television on Sunday admitting that to the American people. Andrew McCabe, former head of the FBI, folks. Think about what Andrew McCabe just admitted on 60 Minutes. He admitted deep state officials discussed recruiting cabinet members to push Trump out of office while they had no evidence of a crime and still don't to this day. The same cabinet, or not cabinet members, same FBI folks who then later on, we find, admitted their whole plan in writing was an insurance policy. Remember? We put the insurance policy together in Andy's office. Now, it's unlikely this guy will win, but just in case he does. Why? They don't like him. They thought this was their job to take him out. And we now know, as of December 9th, 2018, they had no verified evidence that Trump had colluded with the Russians. Which means Andrew McCabe didn't have it at the time either. They were running around thinking, oh, you know, let's go ahead and plan the the removal of the president. Folks, do you realize what was going on during all of this time? Do you think about it? The FBI blew Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. They blew it. Three separate tips. When the woman called into the call center the final time, the manager on duty and the woman who got the call at the FBI center talked to each other, identified the other two cases by Nicholas Cruz's name, and then decided to shut it down. In violation of FBI protocol, should have been referred to the Miami office. They could have stopped that shooting. They shut it down. Nobody's ever been fired for that. Well, all this was going on at the top of the FBI, the Charleston shooter, whose name we never say on the show because the thing he wanted most was fame. The Charleston shooter was able to buy guns because of why? FBI screw up. I mean, so we've literally got mass shooters running around, killing people, while the FBI is trying to take out the president. Comey admitted they blew that one. Oh, and that doesn't even count the Vegas shooter. How many transactions of his were tagged as potential a terror financing? What was it? CBS, 200. Missed that. Sorry. Then gave the public a false timeline. Remember this? And had to go back and change it. They seem a little distracted, don't they? It's because they're too busy trying to take out politicians they disagree with. Protecting the American people has become an afterthought for them.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.